Welcome to Inspire Indeed, recorded here in the studios of WIRLP 97.3 FM. I'm your host, Carol Olson, and we bring you inspiring people, programs, and nonprofits that are addressing the issues and concerns of our community. We hope you'll be inspired by today's guests. And today, I have with me James River Writers, and our guest today, Catherine Herndon, the James River Writers Executive Director, and Joanna Suzanne Lee, James River Writers Board Chair and local poet. Welcome, ladies. Thanks for joining us.
Thank you.
It's a pleasure to be here.
So tell us a little bit first about yourselves and how you got involved with James River Writers.
Okay, I'm Catherine Herndon. I'm the executive director, and I went to the very first James River Writers Conference 15 years ago. It's our 15th anniversary this year, and I've been to every single conference since. After the first one, I started volunteering just a little bit, and then a little bit more, and then a little bit more, and then now here I am.
Yeah, and I'm Joanna. This is my second year as the board chair and my fifth year on the board, actually. And I was trying to count up how many conferences I've actually been to, and I started as a volunteer before I was on the board, so I guess this is my sixth year, so I'm not quite as familiar as Catherine with experience, but it's always been just such an amazing experience to bond with other writers, get to know where they are, learn something, interact. Just a fabulous time overall. So,
and you're both writers?
Yes.
And poets. Can you tell us a little bit about your own artistic ventures?
Well, I'm writing a young adult fantasy novel, and I found a critique partner through James River Writers. Actually, I found two different critique groups through James River Writers, and we're working hard to get that into some sort of shape that it can go out into agents. And I am working hard on her work as well so that she can also get published. And Joanna has a different story, I think.
Yeah, somewhat. Actually, I am primarily a poet, and so a lot of what I do is solitary. But it's James River Writers actually has helped me to build a community around poetry. Probably when I started with James River Writers about 5 or 6 years ago, I was sort of lurking at the edges at one of our networking events, and I met a couple other poets, and we're like, well, wouldn't it be neat if we could get together and read together? And we said, yeah, we'll do that. And I think, you know, we planned this event, and we had all this energy and enthusiasm, and I think five people came. It was really despondent. We stuck with it, and we went from having one reading poetry event every other month. Now we have average 3 regular venues around town. We do critiques and workshops. We're a whole community that was founded initially from that first interaction at a James River Writers event. So I consider myself one of the success stories of James River Writers, and you know, my poetry has progressed. I just released a chapbook this past month and celebrated the launch this past weekend, so that's great. I'm also branching out into other genres, and I'm co-writing a stage play currently with another James River writer, which is something I would never have done on my own, and I've just sort of been learning a lot as I go along. So I'm branching out, and yeah, it's just diverse at this point.
So James River Writers, as a group, you hold both an annual conference, it looks like, as well as writing groups and critiques and events around town?
We sure do. We have a lot of different opportunities for people to come and hang out with us. We have up until January through September, so this month is our last one this year, we have a writing show every month at the Firehouse Theater, and that's the last Wednesday of the month. So that's a ticketed event where people can come and learn something from the people on stage. This month, it's all about learning how to do public speaking for writers. So if you have an author event or a chance to pitch an agent. And then we have some really low-key social events that are free, open to the public, just more come hang out and chat with us and get to know us. And we have one at Art and Craft Ale the second Wednesday of the month. And we usually get a lot of people who just show up to chat and see what we're all about.
And your writing groups, are they, you talk about you being a poet, are they, you know, organized around, say, poetry and then, you know, prose or long-form novel, or is it really just more a group of writers getting together? And
Well, our one event where we have, actually, we get together to do writing, which is our weekly writer's farmhouse, which is held at the Urban Farmhouse in Midlothian, and it's all comers, all genres. I think, you know, Catherine, you sometimes go with your writing partner.
Exactly.
But other people come to work on their own. They'll come to set writing goals, come to work on whatever they're doing or to get pushed to get writing. So whether you've been doing it forever or you're stuck or you just need some encouragement, it's a great place. And it's, again, it's all genres. It's not limited to novelists or to nonfiction or to poetry, that kind of thing.
We sort of provide the umbrella and then people can find what they want within our group. Like I found a critique partner for the fiction writing I'm doing. Some people are looking for critique partners for other things. Some people are looking for a poetry group like Joanna started. So we're sort of the umbrella, and once you get in the door and find other writers and find other people who love what you love, you can branch out and find more people to meet with individually if that's what you're interested in.
And are you a nonprofit or a collective or a...
We are a nonprofit, so we rely on the support of a lot of different donors. We have people who are individual donors. We have some corporate donors. And then we do have ticket sales for our major events, but we can't really cover all the expenses of a conference with ticket sales. So we have to have some amazing sponsors who help us out, too.
And speaking of the conference, so it's an annual event that started, what, 15 years ago?
Exactly.
Tell us a little bit about this year's conference.
Well, we're really, really excited. It is the 15th anniversary, and we have an amazing lineup of people. A couple really exciting people that we have coming. We have Margot Lee Shetterly, who wrote Hidden Figures, is going to come and do an interview with Kirk Schroeder, who's a local entertainment lawyer and her entertainment lawyer. And she's going to talk about her process of writing the book. Apparently, she does a lot of talks, and she gets spoken to about what the book's about and the story of the people in the book, but she doesn't get a lot of chance to talk about the process of writing, what she learned, and the amazing journey of how she wrote the book and then it became the movie. So we're really excited to have her talking about that with us. And then because of our partnership with the Library of Virginia, on Saturday, our conference attendees get to go to the library luncheon. And the Lifetime Achievement Award winner this year is David Baldacci. So we'll get to hear from him at lunch. And that's just two amazing people that we have coming.
If you just tuned in, you're listening to Inspire Indeed, recorded here in the studios of WRIRLP 97.3 FM, Richmond's Independent Radio. Today's guests are from James River Writers, talking about their community of writers, their upcoming conference, and some live poetry readings, which is up next.
So I'll sort of preface this, is that, so it's set downtown VCU-MCV campus with medical school, and sort of that whole area where how it's grown up and changed. It's called Small Mercies. Three blocks from the medical school, there's a bar with the best cocktail in town. Your eyes and your glass, you paint me the autopsies of infants, the politics of tissue recovery, while I watch the bartender, short, dark-haired, cut apart the plastic from a six-pack, believing, maybe, in its choking hold on unlucky marine life. We were all born underwater, and things do get lost in the low light. Looking out, away from the hospital, at the manicured turf patio, it's hard to believe anatomists still haunt these grounds. Poor, apparently, is the new postbellum. Sweeping the sweat back from his bangs, he slides us both another. I can't taste the brand of the bourbon, but savoring the char of the rosemary's smoke, we all three know it's been one hell of a century. Later, dropping you by your car in the parking lot, turn burial ground, turn parking lot again. What I'll remember is the pretty marbled veins of the bar top, is how we cut apart each ring with a white-handled knife, is the evening CSX rumbling overhead, hard by the overpass, coal unslowed in darkness, salt-rimmed.
Welcome back to Inspire Indeed. We're sitting here with James River Writers talking about their community of writers and their upcoming conference. Now back to our show. It looks like you also have Nicole Dennis Benn and Beth Macy.
Yes.
Major speaker.
Nicole Dennis Benn is a debut novelist, and her debut novel has won so many awards, so we're really excited to have her joining us. And Beth Macy, of course, is pretty well known locally for writing two incredible nonfiction books. Factory Man is the one she's most known for. And she's going to be doing a masterclass for us on the day before the conference about finding your nonfiction story. So we're excited about that.
Who all comes to the conference? And tell, you know, is it's a two-day conference. So it's a mix of not only major writers speaking, but writing workshops as well. And
yeah, so it is two full days of plenary sessions and panels. And we do have the master classes that are sort of separate, that are beforehand on Friday. So it could be technically called a three-day conference, but the master classes on Friday are optional. And they really, those classes, they're really detailed, and they are, like, we mean master classes. I mean, you're going to hear from a really well-known speaker. They're going to cover all kinds of things. I think one of the more exciting ones that we have this year is we're doing a yoga and writing workshop. So we've never done anything like that before, trying some different kinds of things. So it's not all geared toward very high-level writers like you on the verge of being published. It could be you're just trying to break into writing or into a different genre, or you're not interested in publishing at all and you're just interested in the elements of your craft. We want to cover all those bases, wherever you are and trying to tell your story. You know, this conference is right for you.
That sounds reassuring, so you don't feel like you have to be a published writer to come and engage and be part of the group.
Yeah. I think that's really one of the most fun things about our conference, and the thing that kept me coming back before I even started volunteering, was that just really feeling like you had found your tribe of people who understood what writing was about. And I think a lot of times writers don't talk a lot about their writing if they have another job where they're really making money at a different job and they're doing their writing sort of on the side, and they think, well, I'm not a real writer. And we get that all the time of people telling us that they're not real writers. But it's really exciting to spend a whole weekend with people who understand what that's like, that creative process. And everybody just assumes you're a real writer. If you're there, you're real.
So. I mean, because you're investing your time and your money into the craft, into the process of writing. So whether it's your main thing you do, whether it's something you do at night, you know, spare moments before the kids go to bed. I mean, it's like whatever time you have to give to writing, by being there this weekend and saying, hey, this is important enough to me in my life that I want this, you know, to be a major part. And we're going to take you seriously and help you get to wherever you want to go, whether that's being published for the first time, whether that's, you know, just getting the draft finished, whether it's connecting with someone, a critique group, or, you know, get involved in one of these master classes and learn how to deal better with your stress with the yoga. I mean, whatever it is that you need, we've got, you know, there's someone in our group who has been there and can help you and encourage you. And it's just a wonderful feeling.
I think that's the nice thing, too, is that because we do have all levels of writers, we do have beginning writers, but we do have experienced writers as well who can kind of lend you a hand and give you some guidance. And we do try to offer some things for more experienced writers if you've already published or you're still working on getting your platform together. We have a masterclass on financial creativity this year that talks about how you handle your finances if you're a writer, which is something new for us as well. And we always try to offer something on social media and platform for the people who are kind of out there getting their writing out to see people and need some advice on how do I do that? How do I become a brand? How do I market myself?
It sounds like from your philosophy that you believe that everyone has a story inside of them. Absolutely. And you're there to help them unlock it.
Absolutely.
Couldn't have said it better ourselves.
Do you interact on any other platforms, meaning like radio or media? Do you read aloud and amplify it over platforms, like outside of your group?
We don't have a lot of readings for the group. It's more about getting people together to work on that craft and business. We do have a social media presence on Twitter and Facebook where we talk about ourselves, but also about what's going on in the book industry or the publishing industry, you know, what awards are coming out and what different things might be happening as far as self-publishing, or things are changing all the time. So we try to keep our members up on that kind of thing on our social media platforms.
If you just tuned in, you're listening to Inspire Indeed, recorded here in the studios of WRIRLP 97.3 FM, Richmond's independent radio. Today's guests are from James River Writers, talking about their community of writers, their upcoming conference, and some live poetry readings. Now back to our show. And speaking of self-publishing, has that changed the writing at all, or changed the concept of who is publishable, what makes an edited book? Or really, I guess the question is, how has self-publishing altered or changed writing and publishing in itself?
It's drastically changed who considers themselves publishable, I think, because the door is all of a sudden much wider open. And it really has allowed some validity to folks who, I mean, self-publishing itself, I would say 10 years ago that if you said you were self-published, people wouldn't take you very seriously. But we've seen some tremendous successes of people who have self-published, and it's, you know, great stuff. And so it's really become this alternate way to success that's not any less valid than with a traditional house or a small press. And there are all kinds of hybrids of ways that, you know, in the middle that you can a little bit self-publish, a little bit small house, a little bit. There's more flexibility than ever and more choices than ever. And so I think a lot more people are feeling like, hey, you know, I do have this story and maybe I can actually do something with it.
I think that's true. I'd say when the conference first started out, we didn't have anybody talking about self-publishing. And even for the first few years of the conference, it was sort of a, we can't talk about that because you aren't going to do it very well if you're self-publishing. And, you know, obviously our emphasis is always on telling your story well and to the best of your ability. So we emphasize you get an editor and make sure you have a beta reader or you get a critique group, have somebody look at it. But definitely now, if you had a conference on writing and you didn't include self-publishing, you'd be completely out of the times. You wouldn't be including a major piece that people are interested in. And like Joanna was saying, it's a much, much more legitimate way to publish in a way that a lot of people are seeing that they can keep more profits for their work and get their work out a lot faster. So it's a really interesting place to be right now because you have traditional publishing, which is still so popular with many people, and then you have all these new options where people can explore a different way to reach people. So it's exciting.
But just to clarify, we still do recommend getting an editor, finding a beta reader, having a critique group. We still...
Right. As an organization, we wish you had to have the best possible story out there that you can possibly have. And our emphasis is always on how can you do the craft and the business better.
How do publishing companies feel about self-publishing?
I mean, it depends on the company. I think Amazon has really gotten into and embraced the self-publishing model. I think the big five traditional publishers still see it as sort of an inconvenience or a way for people to get in the back door without having the gatekeeping that they probably think everyone should have. So it depends on where you make your money, you know, what you think about it.
Sure.
Do you think that more talent is become accessible then through self-publishing that might have been lost in the shuffle before?
I definitely think so, just because publishing is a very, very long process. It takes a really long time to find an agent. It takes a really long time for your agent to find you a publisher. And then it takes a really long time for your publisher to put your traditionally published book out. So I think there are a lot of people who just don't want to wait, you know, 2 to 5 years to get a book seen out on a bookshelf. And so you definitely have people like that who are willing to put in some time to make it the best possible book it can be. And there's certain genres that do really, really well self-publishing. The romance genre does well because a lot of people who like romance like to read it very quickly and, you know, consume it very fast. So if you can put a self-published book out and, you know, have 2 or 3 books out in a year, whereas maybe with publishing you couldn't do that, then you're going to reach your readers a lot faster and they're going to be a lot happier with you. So so that's definitely a positive area for self-publishing.
Do you think it's sustainable for someone to make a living being a writer, or does it really kind of depend on their production output, I guess you might say? It'd be a rather dry term.
Yeah, I would say that it is possible to sustain yourself on your writing, although I think most writers these days, there's a high element of creativity that has to go along with that. So along with the writing and the getting published and the royalties or whatever cut you're getting from the publisher or, you know, sales you're getting from your self-published books, you know, you also need to market yourself as a brand and your message and think about things like teaching or giving talks. And a lot of your income is going to be from subsidiary things as well as just the book sales themselves. So I think, yes, but you really have to work a little outside the box, and I don't think you can really sustain yourself unless you're David Baldacci or something with, you know, just being able to sit in your room, write your book, send it off, and then have a check in the mail and live happily ever after. I think that model is kind of gone by the wayside.
It's a little bit like athletics where it's possible, but it's a small percentage of people who are in that J.K. Rowling top of the... But, and, you know, and I think that it's possible to you know, not be J.K. Rowling and have a decent income at it. If you're, like Joanna said, really willing to work at it and to make it a business. And we also try to teach people the ways to think of it as a business and not just, you know, I have a book, now what?
If you just tuned in, you're listening to Inspire Indeed, recorded here in the studios of WRIRLP 97.3 FM, Richmond's independent radio. Today's guests are from James River Writers, talking about their community of writers, their upcoming conference, and some live poetry readings, which is up next.
There's a poem. In the exquisite onslaught of early May train tracks, late night rainstorms, swooning plumes of cavalry, a little girl tips back a big bottle, and we compare commitments. Strawberries. I was committed once. It was raining then, too. Barefoot. No white horses. No pink rose. Like the bath scents I brought mother that last time, rose, pink, bottle. She never used them. This poem is supposed to be about other things, not mothers and bottles. Thunder, the whistle of trains in darkness, skipping over rocks. Barefoot, rivers can be dangerous, no white horses there either. It is early May, after all. Who will catch you? Strawberry Blonde, he called her. She wrote him love poems, but even they were not happy. Happy poems, she tells me. Poetry is always barefoot, even over broken glass.
Thank you. Beautiful. Welcome back to Inspire Indeed. We're sitting here with James River Writers talking about their community of writers and their upcoming conference. Now back to our show. Do you have any favorite writers yourself, either of you?
Well, of course. I have many, many. Let's see if I can think of any off the top of my head. I really enjoyed Pat Conroy, and just recently got his posthumously published book that I'm working through. It's a nonfiction memoir that talks about his writing process and snippets of essays, and he was apparently really resistant to the idea of blogging until he viewed it as writing letters to all of his readers and being able to write letters to people instead of put something out on the internet. So he was very curmudgeonly about it, I think. And then there, I enjoy writing young adult fantasy, so there are some fantasy authors that I enjoy as well.
And I guess mine would be more like favorite poets. I do kind of chafe at the distinction between a writer and a poet. A poet is a writer, so I'm not going to apologize for that. But, you know, some of the traditionalists, I love Walt Whitman, I love Sylvia Plath. There's some contemporary poets that I follow locally, who I'm just amazed at. I love Ocean Vuong and Amelia Phillips, who used to be here in Richmond. So a lot, actually, a lot. I do a lot of reading.
Joanna is leading a wonderful group at our conference too about, she's got some amazing poets coming, and then we are going to have we're having a evening in the Enchanted Garden of Poetry, right?
Yeah. I'd love to say.
What is it officially called?
It's called An Evening of Poetry at the Poe. And it's our second year doing this. We have a few poets every year who come to the conference the past couple years now, who've come to the conference as speakers. And our conference is set up as panels. So for poets, when they usually do a reading or a speaking gig, part of that is reading from their work. And we really don't have a platform for that within the conference itself. So we started this satellite event, which, again, this in its third year, it's going to be the second year at the Poe Museum downtown. And, you know, we give our poet speakers a chance to read from their works. And it's out in the gardens. We have a tent. We do a cash bar. People can mingle, walk through the museum. And it's the end of the conference day on Saturday night. So it's, you sort of get that October weather, downtown Richmond history vibe with the poetry. And it's just, it was a fantastic event last year. I think we had about 150 people or
right,
so
yeah.
come through.
And it was open to the public. So we had people who weren't just there for the conference, who were there for the Poe.
Really excited that. I'm hoping that this is going to become a tradition that we do every single year, because it brings a little bit of the Richmond literary vibe to it. I mean, it's not, you just go to a conference and you're in a convention center. This makes it a little different. I feel like you get a sense of the city, and it's you know, the place and the space and the atmosphere as well as the words. So great. I'm excited about great. It.
Oh, and Joanna got to read it that last year, which was really lovely to hear her read, because I don't get to hear that as the executive director and board chair. We don't read a lot of poetry to each other. So.
No, not
a lot. So if you're interested in the James River Writers Conference, just go to our website. It's jamesriverwriters.org. And there are all sorts of information on how to sign up. You can sign up for 1-day or 2-day tickets, as well as a day full of masterclasses on the Friday before. So we hope you'll see us there.
Well, thank you for being on the show today.
Thank you for having us.
Pleasure.
Thank you.
You've been listening to Inspire and D, recorded here in the studios of WRIRLP 97.3 FM. I'm your host, Carol Olson. We hope you've been inspired by today's guest to get involved with your deeds. I would also like to thank our News and Talk production team for their support. You can hear past shows on our website, inspireandd.me. To support independent radio, learn, volunteer, or donate, please go to WRIR.org. Next week, Shopping It Up Geek is back with Avery Evans, bringing superheroes and geek culture to you.